Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
Walter Jacobson joins the show now. 30 years ago, Walter, can you believe it? You did that series of reports on homelessness, and they're still being talked about, still being referenced, and anybody who was in Chicago at that time, I mean, you remember it, that's for sure.
I was so surprised to hear that people were talking about it, and now that it's been on television, I suppose, I've been getting calls on that, too. And yeah. It has been a long time. In fact, when I heard it was coming up, or when you're producer asked me to come in and talk to you for a couple of minutes. Mm-hmm. I tried to look it up, and I couldn't even recognize myself. I'm 83, so that means I was 53, so that's still kind of old to be out in the street on Lower Wacker Drive. That was a very sad experience.
And you still have the same shoes, I'm told.
I do have the same shoes. Mm-hmm. Can you believe it?
Well, I can. Let me just, be, for those
little background. I go around barefoot most of the time, so I don't have to use the shoes.
Yeah, you've been through that. Let me just remind everyone. For me, jazzing up for sweeps means 3 hours with a makeup artist, weathering my eyes, yellowing my teeth, pasting on my face a knotted beard. This is part of your memoir, Walter's Perspective, in filthy baggy pants, a tattered coat, and a cameraman toting behind. I'm onto the street into 5 below 0 in February's intolerable winds. I'm going homeless for 48 hours, begging for pennies and morsels, sleeping in boxes on Lower Wacker, and on a floor with 100 genuinely homeless men in a shelter on South State Street.
There's not much more to say. That's it.
It captivated it.
Very uncomfortable 48 hours. People who are homeless don't like to communicate, generally speaking, with those who are not. So it's difficult to talk to them. So the story that I did back then turned out to be more about how I was living those 48 hours than what we expected it to be. And why we started to do the story was to try to talk to some of the homeless. You know, they're not liked. People don't want to be around them. And people stare at them. And, you know, they become the longer they're out on the street, the more they become separated from that what's going on outside of their lives. It's a terrible situation.
Well, and you think about now as much as ever before, people losing jobs and homes, and you see people living in cars, and homelessness has not gone away. If anything, right now at this point in time, it deserves more attention than perhaps we're giving it. And that's what you were trying to do back then. You were trying to say, let me tell the story that can't be told in any other way. I mean, the Tribune columnists, including our dear friend Rick Kogan, were brutal. They did not like what you were doing, and they thought you became the story and that was wrong. You shouldn't have done that. And scathing. They were scathing.
And I was a well-paid anchorman trying to act like a poor homeless person on Lower Wacker Drive. It was unfair because I really did put a lot of work into doing research on what was going on with the homeless and trying to find some ways to help them get the help they need. But, you know, columnists have to do what they do. Rob Feeder did the same thing.
Yeah. I think many of us who were here at that time remember that, too. I was pretty young at the time. I remember
watching
them. You must
have been a baby.
No, not a baby. No, I was, believe me, I understood what was going on there. And I loved it. I loved the reports, but I wasn't a newsie then. And I think that the journalist with a capital J started really sort of like laying into you over it. But in the end, you did get the message out, and there was more awareness in the city, and you did some really good things there, and you won awards, and the rest is history. Now they're even doing a special on CBS2 30 years later, Walter. They're doing a series. They're bringing it up again. It's amazing.
Oh, I guess I'll have to tune in. See if I can recognize myself. See if I can remember. You know, Anna, the older you get, the less you can remember, it seems. And when your producer asked me to come in and talk to you, I quickly tried to remember what was going on and do some research on Google, but I couldn't bring it up, couldn't find out what it was like back then. Yeah, I know there are about 5,000 people out on the street every day,
right?
Night and day. That's an awful lot of people who have nowhere to go.
something to remember. Let me ask if you remember this, because legend has it, and I don't know if this is true. I've heard this story before, that you actually rang the doorbell of Bill Curtis, your co-anchor over at CBS2, the famous pairing that you were, and you were sent away unrecognized and empty-handed, that you went there like, you know, kind of dressed as the homeless person.
Well,
and did that happen?
Yes. Oh, yes, that's true. Well, we didn't say anything that was untrue in that whole 48 hours on the air, but I did that after the day was almost over, my last day, and I kind of did it as a sporting thing, looking for Bill and Donna, his partner at the time. You're not recognizable. I wasn't recognizable. I was all bundled up so I could keep warm. But it was a fairly enjoyable moment out of the 48 hours.
Yeah, and you, I've heard you say you don't regret a thing at all about doing that series.
Oh, absolutely not. I thought I was unfairly criticized. But as I say, mm-hmm. that's the business. And, you know, people are perfectly willing to say, and I can understand, who is he to say what it's like to be homeless, you know? He gets off the street here, and then he goes home to a comfy house in Lincoln Park. So mm-hmm. I guess there was some grounds for criticism. But I did show things. I didn't know things about the homeless until I actually went there. For example, you drive by sleeping bags in Lower Wacker Drive, but you rarely see people in it, even in them, even in the summertime when it's warm. It's kind of chilly down there, but mm-hmm. they're not part of life, so you're not aware of where they are. And when I dressed up and went down, I was perfectly made up. It was really fabulous. And I tried to engage in conversations and not so much on a looking for news as it was to kind of meet and be with those people and talk to them and find out what they're thinking. And I found that they were hostile. They didn't want to talk. They didn't want to be helped, most of them, most of those that I ran into anyway, and they removed me from their little settlements.
Mm-hmm.
But I came away with a strong feeling anyway that they need help. And their subsequent mayors since then have tried to focus some on homeless and do something about it. In fact, you know, Lori Lightfoot made it part of her campaign.
Yeah, well, and you're right. The shining the spotlight on them and reminding folks of the struggles that they go through and the way you did it. I mean, the storytelling way that only you could do, in my view, as following your career as closely as I have, it was they were a special series. And it just proves something that they're now still talking about them years later and doing specials about it. I guess that's,
well,
you know,
so nice
that's
of
compliment.
You. So nice of you to have seen that and said that and invited me in. How great.
Oh, I'm happy you came on. And take care of those shoes, Walter, okay?
Okay. All right.
Okay. We'll talk to you later.
Okay. Bye.
One of my news heroes there, Walter Jacobson.